there are a lot of things to do in and around the area. Lots of holiday festivities. Holidays at Frostville being put on by the Olmsted Historical Society. We're going to learn more about that right now as Jan Mettler from Olmsted Historical Society joins us. Jan, thank you so much for coming on the show. How are you?
I'm good, and it's my pleasure to be here.
Well, let's start with the details on Holidays at Frostville. A couple of years ago, you guys produced a really interesting video showing all the interesting things that you have to offer for Holidays at Frostville. For those that aren't familiar with what goes on at Holidays at Frostville, what kinds of events do you guys have?
Well, this year it is Saturday evening from 4 to 8 and Sunday from 11 to 4. And we have lots to do. Saturday evening, our entire village will be lit by luminaries. All our historic homes will be open and decorated for Christmas so everyone can tour. We have a display barn full of artifacts and a wonderful military room. A general store will be open for shopping. We have handmade items, some antiques for sale, and lots of treasures for everyone to shop for. We have an electric train display. And in our church, it will be full of music this year. Saturday evening, we generally have a sing-along Christmas caroling, so all the people can come in and participate in singing carols. A lot of times, people don't get a chance to do that anymore, so it's something everyone seems to enjoy. And Sunday afternoon, there will be orchestras and choirs from the North Olmsted schools performing in the church. In our event barn, we have Mrs. Claus, where you can have a picture taken, face painting and craft for children, a bake sale, and a raffle baskets. We also serve food. We're going to have some homemade soups and chili and hot dogs and brats, and free coffee and hot chocolate. So we hope everyone comes and has a good time.
Free coffee and hot chocolate. Boy, I tell you what, that sounds fantastic. But you mentioned something about a bake sale. I love bake sales. What kinds of items do you think will be available at the bake sale?
Oh, my gosh. We have some wonderful bakers in our group. Pies, Christmas cookies, muffins, all kinds of different items. It's always a big variety.
You guys have storytellers available at these events as well, correct?
Well, this year we do not. Instead, we have Mrs. Claus, and she's a wonderful lady, and you can sit and chat with her and have your picture taken.
Jan, you mentioned that you guys will be decorating the historic homes in the area down there. What's the process that takes into that? Is that volunteers who do that?
Oh, our society is all volunteers. And we have four historic homes, and there's a committee for each home, and they are in charge of decorating, and it's period decorating. So, for example, the Carpenter House is from the 1840s, and the Christmas decorations that we've put in there are 1840s-style decorations. So we try to make it interesting and kind of a learning experience.
That's fascinating. What are some of the differences? I'm just curious in decorations between the 1840s and today.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, I'd imagine quite a bit. But
a lot. In the 1840s, decorations were very simple. Small trees, a few handmade ornaments, maybe a string of popcorn, as opposed to today where you have the lights and the flashing and all that stuff. So totally different.
That's kind of cool, though, a trip down memory lane, or history, I guess I'd say.
History, yes, yeah. Not our memory.
No, not at all.
History, yes.
Our memory based on what we read in the history books, right? Yeah, no question about that. We're talking with Jan Mettler with the Olmsted Historical Society. Holidays at Frostville taking place this weekend. Make sure you check it out. And, boy, I'll tell you, there are a lot of things for kids to do here as well. You mentioned that Mrs. Claus is going to be there. It sounds like there's going to be a lot of cool things for the kids to experience. There are going to be some handmade crafts here as well. You mentioned that there will be some of those available not only in the buildings, but they're also at the gift shop as well. What kinds of handmade crafts are available?
Oh, gosh. We have kind of a consignment program, so our members who are talented can sell some of their items. We have handmade doll clothes for the American Girl size dolls. Other things like tea cozies, placemats, aprons, all kinds of different items.
You mentioned that one of your buildings with the 1840 theme, because that's the year that it was built. What are some of the other themes, or I guess what are some of the other time periods that exist in the other buildings that you've got? How far do these things span? You mentioned the 1841, but what mm-hmm. other kinds of time periods are we looking like with the themes that have developed in these other buildings?
Well, we have a cabin that is from the 1820s, and it's a one-room cabin. And when it's decorated for Christmas, and there's a fire in the fireplace, it's very beautiful. And our other home is from the 1860s, and it's kind of a farmhouse. It's the original building that was in that area, and it's kind of a more, when I walk in there, I think of the Waltons type items in there. It's a very homey, beautiful little house. And our fourth building, the Briggs home, is also from the early 1800s, but it's under renovation, so unfortunately it will not be open for Christmas this year.
But I would imagine that has to be a lot of fun for you and everybody else in the individual committees with every single house and every building there, that you get to put your own little twist on the decorations as well. And I referenced the video that exists on your website talking about years past when you guys have put these together. That has to be a lot of fun with the planning process of giving the folks that visit a sense of what Christmas was like in each individual time period, but you get to put your own little twist on it.
Well, yes. Our volunteers, I can truly say we love Frostville, each and every one of us. We enjoy being there very much, and we put a lot of our heart and soul into everything we do. So, yes, it's our way of saying thank you to the community for the support from the whole year.
Which, now, are you associated with one of the buildings that are putting these decorations together? Did you have responsibilities with one of the buildings we mentioned?
Yes, I run the Carpenter House, which is the big colonial two-story house.
Okay, so what goes into decorating that for Christmas time?
Well, we have a small tree we put up. It's actually on a table. And we have little clip-ons for candle lights and homemade ornaments. We've decorated the mantles on our fireplaces, our dining room table and our kitchen table, wreath on the door, and that is essentially it, besides a lot of candlelight, because, as I said, decorations then were very simple.
No, but that's interesting, though, too, because, again, it's always fun to go to these things and see Christmas in a little bit of a different light, and I would imagine that's kind of what this is all about, because Christmas, for better or worse, depending on which side you fall in this equation, it's been commercialized quite a bit, especially over the course of the last 20 to 30 years. But what's cool about the building you just described is it's cool because there's some nostalgia there. You get to see what homes look like during the Christmas era going back 200-plus years.
Yes, when our house is open, people are just fascinated with the house in general. And people come in, and the first thing they say is, "Oh, I wish I could live in this house. It's just so beautiful." so I think just being in a building like that is an experience that a lot of people don't ever have. So I encourage everyone to come in and bring your children, even pretty young children, come through and see a way of life that, you know, no longer exists. And I really believe that it's very important for people to know what life was like for our ancestors so that we can appreciate and make good use of what we have today.
Very well stated. Well, Jan, for our listeners out there that are wondering where they can go to get more information on holidays at Frostville, where can they go to get that?
We have a website, olmsteadhistoricalsociety.org, and it's all there. So please come this weekend, Saturday 4 to 8, and Sunday 11 to 4.
That sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. Jan, thank you so much for joining us. This was a lot of fun.
Well, thank you very much. I always enjoy a chance to talk about the Olmsted Historical Society.
Well, we enjoy having you on. Thank you again. That is Jan Mettler with Olmsted Historical Society. Check out Holidays at Frostville this weekend. That's got to be a lot of fun. See, for me, to get a chance to see things that you don't normally get the chance to see, and I thought Jan nailed it there, too. Look, these buildings that exist, they are portrayed when you go to Holidays at Frostville this weekend the way they would have been presented back in the 1800s.
Sure. Have you ever had the chance to get down there and see those? Or?
I have not, no.
I saw the log cabin she spoke of. It wasn't during Christmas time, but they told us sort of some of the things they do down there. And it is nuts to think that this was an actual home that people lived in with a family, and the log cabin is literally just one room. You walk in, there's a fireplace in there. I can't remember if it's in the middle of the house or if it's off to the side, but it is. Like she said, I mean, it's one of those unique experiences where you sort of step in and you travel back in time and think, wow, these people lived a very different life than what we're living today. That no cell phones, no computers. It was as simple as you possibly could have been. In there, there was a few candles for people to see. There's a fireplace to keep you warm, and there's beds for you to sleep on. Other than that, you'd be out farming or doing something else that day.
That's the bizarre thing about this whole process, too, because we think of candles today as a last resort. If your power goes out,
almost.
Or you know what, you use it
or
as something
that
to
smells
smell.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, you use it to make your place smell better. That's primarily what I use candles for.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, they needed candles in order to see at night. As soon as that sun went down, it wasn't like you could plug the lamp in and rock and roll. You had to light candles in order to be able to operate after the sun went down.
Yeah, it was a necessity. I thought it was fascinating, too, there, too, how Jan mentioned that they had the clips on the tree for the candle holders. And you sort of forget. I mean, there was a time where there weren't Christmas lights, and they literally put candles in those trees. So, which was a bit of a fire hazard. Every once in a while, a home would go up. But still pretty cool. I mean, to think back and to be able to see that would be kind of unique as well, because I can't tell you the last time, Bull, I ever saw a tree that had candle holders on it.
Boy, now that you say that, I've seen it before. But
have
it's
you
been
really?
A really long time. Yeah. Yes, I've seen it before, only because it was used for this kind of purpose.
Uh-huh.
I would imagine. It was in a way to make you see how Christmas used to be done.
Mm-hmm.
But see, there's still something cool about that, too. Even if you take a younger generation with you to say, hey, you know, I know you're used to all the flash and flare and the 18,000 lights and watching Christmas specials on TV, but this is how it was done 200 years ago. And I think it's interesting to see that perspective, because it's something you just don't normally see anymore. But see, the cabin is cool because you got the big old fireplace. You know, you get a chance to see how Christmas existed 200 years back. Cool stuff.
And I think she said that was from 1820. So,
1820,
I mean, you have to think if that colonial, which was 1840, was pretty simple. You'd have to think that cabin was even more so as they prepared for Christmas. But yeah, it's one of those neat things. I haven't been there during the Christmas time, but I can only imagine it's beautiful down there with those historic buildings.
You know, people fly in for Christmas. People mm-hmm. fly in for the holidays. See, back then, you know, your family wasn't all that far away. You're traveling by horse and buggy to get to and from. And, you know, I don't know how they did some of the things back then that we do today. Maybe they didn't. But I always think about the things that are done today. You know, for Thanksgiving, we're having 20-some people at the house. That's a lot of people, but they're coming from different sides of the city, too. So back then, you couldn't do that.
Yeah.
You couldn't get to and from. You'd have to travel all day in order to get there. So back then, you know, all of these gatherings were just vastly different. If they weren't living on the farm with you, they probably weren't coming over.
That's a good point.
Yeah, very, very bizarre stuff. All right. Well, again, check that out this weekend if you have the chance at Olmsted Historical Society. Holidays at Frostville takes place, as Jan mentioned, on Saturday and Sunday.